Calvin actually made our own theme music.
That's awesome.
And it is the baddest ass theme music I've ever heard in my entire life, but it totally describes me without any vocals.
That's awesome.
It is the coolest thing I've ever heard. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me, man.
I
So
gotta hear
awesome.
it.
You gotta hear it, bro. All right, guys, welcome to another episode of the Dr. Dex podcast. I'm extremely excited today. I've been waiting. When my son came to me and said, "Dad, we want to start a podcast," or I want to start a podcast around the Dr. Dex franchise. I'm like, "Yeah, man, tell me what you got." And he goes, "Well, you know, it's a podcast." I'm like, "Well, okay, what's a podcast?" You guys got to be patient with me. I'm sick, okay? And I'm contaminating Calvin's microphone right now. So,
in my space.
Sorry, buddy. We decided to do this, right? And I'm like, okay, well, that means I'm going to have people on and guests, right? I can't just talk every week by myself. And the first person I wanted on my podcast was Mark King. Mr. Mark King of Infinite Dex, thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure. Anything for you, brother.
Awesome. Yeah. So why you ask, why do I want Mark as my very first guest? Well, I see Mark as a younger version of me. Like, he is an artist first and a builder second, and we have a lot of the same characteristics and traits and the things that we do as far as creation of our outdoor living environments. And we're both heavy into deck board bending and the heat modification and manipulation of PVC decking. And when you have a passion like that, and there's only, you know, there's a lot of people doing it now, but 15 years ago, maybe even 20 years ago, there was hardly anybody doing it. And we were kind of the OGs, the innovators, the people that I didn't really know Mark very well back then, and we were kind of developing our own techniques. But once we finally met and crossed paths, was it a trade show that we first met?
Well, I think it was Instagram. Instagram, obviously I knew who you were because you're definitely an influencer from day one. And I think I just started showing some videos and it caught your attention, and then we connected, and then.
I remember one of the funniest things, man, as we were doing this Instagram thing, and before video was really a deal on Instagram,
Yeah.
you posted a picture of your heat blankets blacked. They were
Yes.
completely smoked. And I said, my condolences.
Yeah, actually, that might have been our first interaction.
I felt so sorry for you.
Oh,
I shed a tear for you that day.
I appreciate it. You would know. That smell resonated in that neighborhood for like 3, 4 days. I couldn't get rid of it. It was so awful. And luckily, I was doing it outside because
dude,
you
you could have
burn
burned down a
PVC.
house. I
Oh,
mean,
burning
so
PVC is a smell you don't forget.
okay, so put that Calvin on the marker. We're coming back to that, okay? But we're
Yeah.
not going to get into it yet because people are like, who the hell is Mark King, right? And Mark King, first of all, is my friend. He's an
Yes.
artist, he's my friend, he's a brother. I take a
Brother.
bullet for this guy, and I won't take one for many,
Yeah.
okay? But I have that kind of relationship with Mark. It's not the kind of relationship that's like, okay, we're thousands of miles apart, obviously. So no, he's in Twin Lakes, Minnesota. Did I get it right?
Twin Cities.
Oh, I screwed it up again. You know why? We were at a trade show, and I could not introduce him right. Every time we're bending deck boards, and Mark and this other guy were bending deck boards, and I go, Mark King from Twin Lakes. And he's like, it's Twin Cities, Jason. I'm like, oh, crap, I said it wrong again. You know, because there's a Twin Lakes in Washington, and that's why I kept messing it up. And I thought I had it, and I screwed it up again. So anyways, Mark is from Twin Cities, Michigan. I'll get it right one of these days.
Minnesota.
Minnesota, yo.
Wrong.
You goof.
What'd I say? Michigan?
Michigan. You
It's an
missed
M.
again. You missed again.
I'm sick. You gotta cut me some slack, man. I'm
you got all the
foggy. I'm
slack you
super
need.
fo I'm foggy. So
Yeah.
anyways, so there's just certain people that you come across in a path in your life, and you just realize that, hey, I really like this guy, regardless of what he does or what he does for a living, man. We've just became friends. And we always have had a smile on each of our faces. There's been times where we've been to events and we're like, you know what? Let's dip out. I don't really want to go to this part of this event. Let's just go grab a drink or something or a snack and sit down and chat. And those are some of the best times I've had with you, is just where I had you one-on-one, good friends, good times. But what I want to do first, Mark, is kind of go back.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back before the kids were born. Let's go back, you know, like, how was your upbringing, your childhood? How did that work out?
Man, that's a whole another episode. That's a whole other episode.
All right, cool. All right. So we're in high school.
Yeah.
Did you graduate?
Yeah, I did graduate high school. And actually, while I was in high school, my best classes was drafting, wood shop, and math. So it just made
sense.
And actually, my junior and senior year, I was in a class called work program. So basically, I'd go to class for like 3, maybe 4 hours a day. And then I got an excuse to go work for the rest of the half a day.
Really?
So I was in the trades as early as my junior and senior year. I was actually working for a friend's brother-in-law doing bricklaying and just random stuff like that. And I just, it's funny because in that class, when senior year, I had to write a letter to myself for, I don't know if it was 2 or 3 years later. And I just knew I wasn't made for school. I wasn't going to go to college. I can't sit in a classroom. I can't drive to the same place. So I wrote a letter to myself saying I wanted to be running a crew, building decks, you know, have a new truck, trailer, all that stuff. And that letter actually got to me, and I was actually there. It was cool. And
that
I don't
inspired
even know.
You, man.
It's so weird that I even knew that I wanted to do decks. I just like that there's more than just one trade involved. It's more than just framing. It's more than just trim. It's more than just anything, you know. And back in the day, we didn't have all the engineered footings we have now. So we were hand-digging footings. And,
yeah.
You know, we tried
and
all.
In that 4 foot Minnesota frost depth.
Yeah, exactly. So I've been there and done it all. I mean, I just, my muscles are built for throwing a post hole digger down.
Hey. Hey, you're physically made for it, man.
Yeah.
You got short legs because you're closer to the decking, man. I mean,
that's right.
I'm built the same way.
That's right.
I don't know how those guys that are 6'4" do it, man.
Oh, man.
They're not built for building decks.
Oh, man. Could you imagine being bent over if you're that tall all day?
No, it'd be terrible.
Yeah. And I guess one thing about decks I really liked, and as I matured, it's the one trade in the construction industry that you can really separate yourself from others. You know, you can be a sider and just do siding well. You can roof and do it right. You know, concrete, you can have square foundations and things like that. But decks, you really get to separate yourself. And you know this, as far as being an artist and getting creative and doing different things that other people weren't. And that's what really kicked me off. It was probably back in like 2008. I was done building the square decks that everybody else designed. It got monotonous, so it was just like, the only way I can do something different is to do it on my own.
We had this conversation. I don't know exactly when it was, but you told me at one point in your career, so we're going to get through the stages and stuff, but this is, I would say, early to medium, moderate, middle of your career, you're like, I don't ever want to build a square deck ever again for the rest of my career.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, man. And you said, and I'm not going to.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn. Wait a minute. So, like, if somebody said, I'm going to throw you $60,000 to build me a square, you're like, nope, I'm not building it unless it's round. And I was like, it was an admiration, but it was also like a little bit of lunacy in there because I'm like, are you crazy? Like, you're not going to take the square. And you didn't for a long time. And I was like, man, all he's doing is curves. Good on him. Because I'm the kind of guy, if it makes sense for business,
yeah,
and I'm getting paid reasonably well. Mm-hmm. I'll build whatever you want. I'll build a rectangle or a square or whatever.
Right.
But you were like just hardcore into circles, and I admire the grind, man. It was a really awesome time for you.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And at the time, I meant it. I literally.
Yeah, I know you did.
I was at a point in my career to where my clients respected it. They were okay being on the schedule for 6, 9, 12 months to be. Because I told them, like, I'm interviewing you as much as you're interviewing me.
That's right.
I need to know that you're the type of customer, because I didn't want to build a deck I didn't want to take a picture of. And that's
congratulations, Mr. Jones. You have you've actually made my list of approved clients.
Yeah.
I said that to some people, and they just looked at me like I was nuts. But then they kind of laugh. You know, I was like, I'm just kidding. But no, you it's good for you when you go out on an estimate or a bid that you are kind of pre-qualifying the client. If you've already kind of pre-qualified them to the telephone or to the and we'll talk about that too. The fact that, are you still taking phone calls or are you only doing emails for leads?
I pretty much just do emails. And
I took a note out of your book and we did the same thing.
Yeah, I don't take phone calls until you're signed up and pay down payment in.
Yeah, then you just call me on my cell phone instead of the business line. Yeah,
and now we're friends. You know?
Yeah, okay. All right, so you graduate high school. You've got a couple years in on general construction.
Yeah.
Then what do you do after that? What's your thought?
So
where do you go?
So Minnesota actually is probably, in my opinion, one of the best deck markets because we are, you know, north, but we have a lot of basements. And so with basements comes decks. You know, it's not like south. Okay. It's not like the south where it's a lot of concrete, a lot of, you know, all that kind of stuff, a lot of flat work. Out here, and you know this, with walkout deck or walkout basement decks, we're doing EPDM water diversion probably 75-80% of the time just because it makes sense. Why not have another outdoor living space underneath your deck?
Makes sense to me.
Yeah,
we do more and more and more of them now.
Yeah, so definitely. Getting back to where I was. So then, you know, I was doing my own thing. I did a lot of subcontracting. I worked for some of the... At the time, there was only a handful of deck builders out here, and the ones I knew were worth knowing. And so I've worked for all of them, kind of figured out what I liked and didn't like about what they do and how they do it. And then by 2008, broke off and just used everything I liked and didn't do anything I didn't like.
So what year did you graduate high school?
2001.
Okay, so you took about 7 years to correct your craft and perfect it and hone in on it. Mm-hmm. And then in 2008, you're like, Infinite Dex is where it's at.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do. You started Infinite Dex.
Yeah.
2008.
Well, technically in 2008, I partnered with another buddy who you've met him before. I've introduced you, Rick. We actually started another company that is in 2008. I don't know if you remember. That was like the decline of the economy.
Oh, I remember.
As far as the housing market, I mean, we were literally giving jobs away just to have work. And the only way we can get it is to separate ourselves from others. I mean, at that time, we were still building cedar decks, and we were just doing them better than everybody else at, you know, whatever cost we can do to get work.
And so cedar was a good medium, a medium for you back then?
At that time, because the composites and things like, I mean, by then, we have already tried ProCell and TimberTech and those products, but it just wasn't a hot ticket, especially in 08. You know, people were trying to conserve their money and things like that. And, you know, some of the cedar decks, that's where I started doing some of my, what I consider a signature staircase, where it had mitered risers into the skirts, picture frame treads, and did the whole nine. And, you know, I was actually doing it for myself because I don't think anybody else really appreciates the craft. But I definitely did. And, it, you know, it was fun to say I did it and take pictures.
Right on.
But it was shortly after that, a couple years, you know, by 2010, people were really getting into, you know, TimberTech XLM and things like that. But then, yeah, so technically Infinite Decks, I started in 2012.
Okay.
Kind of rolled off on my own and once again, learned some more ups and downs and then, you know, definitely honed in on what I wanted to do. And when I told you that, yeah, all I want to do is build curved decks. I literally created a clientele out here to where that's what they were calling me for. And it was awesome. Now, I agree with you. This day and age, I will take a square deck because I still feel like I could design some cool stuff that makes it better than the next guy. You know, I could still build it a little bit better. I can offer different lighting, different rail options, and different ways. You know, with Infinite Decks, I created what I call the Infinite Signature Post, where I literally take AZPC parts and I mocked up a post sleeve after what's most common you see interior for a Newell post. because I always wanted to bring the quality of Inside out, and that was kind of my thing, because no one ever did that, you know? And I wanted to be just different and set myself apart, and it really helped, you know, because at the time, everybody offering square decks.
Because so. in Minnesota, do they offer a solid sawn beam, like a 4x or a 6x, or you're just doing multiple plies together to create your beams, right?
So we do what you call a glue lam. Are you familiar with those?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, we're using them right now. Yeah. So you use a lot of laminated beams?
You introduced me to the beam lift.
The genie lift. Hey.
The back saver.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I actually bought a used one on Craigslist. Cheap. Actually, like $300 or $400. But I ended up having to replace the cable in it because it was frayed. And
sure.
I think next time I'd probably buy a little bit nicer one. But mm-hmm. boy, I still use it.
Yeah.
It's a cow. You know, it's a pig to get into the backyard. But once it's back there, I was like, hey, man.
Makes sense.
Crank her up. Yeah. And that's a definite back saver. And safety.
Yeah. Like,
we were lifting some 400 or 500 pound beams with it. And man, I don't know how I'd do it without it now.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was 30 or younger, I would boost it on my shoulder and I'd have other guys bitching about it. And I'd be like, I'll do it. You know,
same thing.
Stupid.
Same thing. Yeah. No, I was just stubborn. And I just, we got it. Grab another. Yeah. Just don't drop
it. All right. Yeah. Please don't drop it. And if you do, you better yell because I got to throw this thing
three or four feet
away from me. Yeah. Because that's going to really screw up my back.
Yeah.
No, it is a thing of safety. And as you get older and you realize, you know, when they say as you get older, don't fall. No joke, man. Like, do not fall. So as construction workers, even more important that we don't do that.
Yeah.
Like, definitely don't want to fall anymore.
Right.
I just had a little slip and fall on the concrete on this project I'm on as I was getting ready to film it for social media just before we started tearing it down. And I hit some slimy concrete, man. Bam. Oh. Like, I thought I cracked my elbow, you know?
Yeah.
So... anyway, you got your hot and heavy and infinite decks. You know, we crossed paths a few times at some shows. We stay in touch. And as along this journey, you know, we start comparing some notes on different ways we bend and how we're using the heat con system, mm-hmm. What temperatures, because a lot of this information is kind of, what do you call it, proprietary?
I agree.
We don't necessarily share that with everyone because, as you know, Mark, and as I know, like, you can use a different color palette of the same brand of deck boards. And just because it's a different color, it may heat up at a different rate mm-hmm. or it might need a different temperature or whatever, you know? And so I know there's been a couple of times where I just out of curiosity to call you up and say, hey, man, what have you been in, you know, the new TimberTech board, the AZEK board at, you know, the vintage. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what color? I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Coastline. Oh, no, wait. Dark. Or what about dark hickory? You go, well, and you're like, well, I've been this at this degree, but I've been bending this color at this temperature because of blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's certain off-gassing, the time of year. There's so much that goes into the art we create, you know?
Right.
And then I think one day you sent me a photograph where you took this... took a piece of 5.5-inch wide board and you bent it on this like arch.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Like,
was that you?
Horizontally?
No, it was like on the floor, but it came like this and then it was a really tight bend.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, wow, that was impressive.
Yep.
Very impressive. What did you end up doing? Was that just for fun?
That was just for fun. Just, you know, like you said, you know, all of a sudden everybody started bending boards and stuff. And I agree, it's proprietary information as far as you and I are concerned, because if there's the second person who burnt out the most materials and threw away money, it'd be me. So
that
information shouldn't be free. So,
no, that's why we have a class and we charge $1,000 to teach people how to do it, because, you know, we probably sell 4 or 5 courses every year mm-hmm. From new guys that want to come in and learn the system.
Right.
And I think that, you know, it's probably money well spent to save over $1,000 on decking.
Well, just to hit the ground running, you know?
Right. I mean, and you consulted me. I gave you some files on that. I know it was a lot to watch, but, you know, I know you watched some of it and you're like, yeah, it looks good to me. I was like, okay, cool. Mm. So anyways, okay. So what else you got? Okay. So there was a time in your career, and if you don't want to talk about this, we don't have to. So just say, yeah, I'm going to skip over that or whatever. But there was a time in your career, it was, boy, it's got to be like 4 or 5 years ago, maybe, where you called me and you're like, hey, you know, I'm kind of getting worn out a little bit on owning this business. And dude, you're preaching to the choir.
Right.
You know, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Me too.
Yeah. There's a special respect that I have for the small business owner. Mm-hmm. Like you've actually branched out. So you're in Infinite Decks. You have one crew. You are blessed to find a couple guys with ability that are coachable. Mm-hmm. So you decide to do two crews.
Yep.
Now, how many crews did you get up to with Infinite Decks? Were you running like 3 or 4 crews at one time?
So by 2016 was my best year ever as Infinite Decks. Yep. I was selling, building, and I ran up to 4 crews. Now, all the crews weren't doing curved decks because I made networking and relationships with many like landscapers and things like that. So we were also taking on pool houses and just other projects that why would I turn it down? Right.
Right.
So that was my best year ever. But you know, that didn't last forever. You know, some of the crews, it was just a lot of work, and I worked really hard that year to be able to make that work, and it exhausted me, and I dialed it back down pretty much the next year.
You were kind of babysitting. You're telling me you're kind of babysitting more. It wasn't worth your time because you weren't making any more money than you were in any particular time in your career.
Right.
It's almost like you have to have 4 or 5 successful crews to make more money than you do if you just work with one efficient team of people.
Yeah, and so, at that time I was taking on projects that I wouldn't have taken on before, but like I said, I was nurturing and creating these relationships with landscapers and designers and things like that, that, you know, was beneficial because they ended up coming up with projects that was more my style, like, you know, just the outdoor living type, to where pool houses, that's, I can do them, but that doesn't interest me.
It's not my jam. If you don't have passion for it, why bother?
Yeah. If I can't differentiate myself from someone else, like, a pool house is a pool house. Did you do it right? Did you do it good? You know? All right. Well, good.
You can walk in. Does it leak in the side? You know?
Yeah, right.
If not, can I change my into my shorts over here in this enclosed room?
Right.
Nobody can look under the door at me? Okay, great.
Yeah. Mission accomplished.
Yeah. No. Okay. I get it. So, then you decided, okay, force too much. I'm going to dial things back. And then you just got to the point where you were considering, you know what? I'm kind of thinking about maybe putting Infinite Decks on pause and going to work for this other company.
Yeah.
Because I did, they made me all these great, they dangled the carrot.
Yeah.
And they made me all these really great. And at the time I was like, man, congratulations. I was really happy for you because it made it sound like they're going to give you everything you wanted and you're going to be able to do exactly what you wanted to do and be as creative as you wanted to and run a sales team and get out of the field in the freezing ass cold, and all that stuff. And so you went to work for that company, which we won't mention.
No.
Unless you want to.
No, they're not around anymore. But,
oh, really?
So,
oh, no.
And the thing was, before I was approached by them, I was actually approached by a guy I've known for a long time. I was in the trades with him right out of high school. Him and I were installing aluminum railing for multifamily housing. And at the time, I'm 18 years old making union wages. So I'm making like $38 an hour installing aluminum railing at 18 years old. I was like, yeah, this is great.
Heck yeah, it is.
So
that's amazing.
So I've known the guy forever, and he's actually over at that company. And I never even considered it. He just gave me a call out of the blue. He's like, hey, would you consider sitting down with me and the owner? And I was like, I guess I'll sit down with you guys. I wasn't expecting anything. And, you know, the owner was super flattering. He offered me heaven and put me through hell.
Wow.
It honestly, I was there for, by start to finish, I was out within 9 months.
Yeah.
What sucks is, so everything he offered me, I worked towards. Basically, I was running my own custom outdoor living company under his umbrella. So it was, you know, Lux Outdoor Living as their name under there. And he became so jealous of every salesman in that company wanted to sell for Lux. Every builder in that company wanted to build for Lux. And he got so just jealous, he literally smothered it and killed it. And at that point, all of a sudden, I just became a project manager for the decks he was selling and building. And I was just like, I'm out of here. This isn't what I signed up for. And I got duped. And actually, what's funny is it wasn't but a couple few months after I got in, my buddy actually called me and was like, hey, would you want to meet with these guys? The owner actually didn't follow through with some pay schedule that he had set up. So he left and he went to go selling building materials. And it was shortly after that, after he left, I called him up. I was like, yo, did you screw me? Like, he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, dude, this is garbage. He kind of giggles. He's like, yeah, I know. I had to get out of there. I'm like,
yeah. Oh my gosh. He brought you in and then he split.
What
kind of friend is that?
He's like, sorry, man. If I would have known, I wouldn't have done that. You know, and the sad part is that company could have been something. They had some of the best talent in all arenas under one roof.
Oh, man. And the guy just couldn't let go.
The owner got in his own way. If the owner would have just left and just not been a part of it, it could have been something great.
You guys would have been rocking steady still.
Honestly, it could be huge right now, but he couldn't get out of his own way.
Enough of that guy. I'm tired of him already.
I'm already tired of him.
All right. So that's the sour part, the bad part, but here's the good part.
Yeah.
What I learned from you. The next time I talk to you, you're like, hey man, I'm going big. I've learned so much in 9 months from this company. I've hired half their sales team to come over and work for me. Yeah. As Infinite Decks. I'm like, oh, you kept your license, you kept everything. Oh yeah, man. I never let anything expire. I kept everything on the up and up. I'm like, because I think we had that discussion before you went to work for that guy.
Yeah.
And so here you go. And you went from a smaller company to like a full scale, like full on like production deck building company.
Yep.
So you had Infinite Decks as a really boutique niche, artsy fartsy kind of deal, like I do.
Yep.
And then you were cool with that because you were doing exactly what you loved and you're still making money, maybe not as much. You know, so let's get something straight for everybody out there.
Yeah.
You do not make as much money building circles as you do building squares.
Yeah. It's debatable. I guess it depends on how you look at it. Because for you and I mean, honestly, for a curved deck, does it take you that much longer than compared to a square deck?
Well, I'm doing them in aluminum now. So, yeah, it's taking longer.
There's a whole new learning curve.
On wood. On wood, you know, it's still wood. Yeah, it would still take me a little more time to build a circle. It depends on how much curving we're talking about. But by the time you add the surface borders and all the fascia and everything else into it, you know, you're going to have 20% more time at least, I think.
Yeah.
Trimming it and making it. Oh, you know, because here's a gig. Mark King builds award-winning decks. He does not build decks. And you know what I get offended by the most is when people say, oh, hi, Jason Russell. Nice to meet you. Oh, Dr. Dex, tell me about them. Well, I'm a custom deck builder. Oh, I built a deck once.
Yeah.
Like, you're trying to identify with me as that you built a deck once.
Yeah.
Oh, what do you do? Oh, you're an airline pilot? Oh, well, I rode on an airplane before.
Yeah.
So that's when I pull my phone out and I'll pull out the baddest. Sorry.
Are we allowed to swear or no?
We have 5-year-olds that watch us.
Yeah.
And dad, mom and dad don't want doctor dropping F-bombs. Oh, I lost my train of thought there. That was so funny. You were talking about
how somebody built one deck and they compared them.
Okay. So then I pull out a picture and I say, well, let me show you something that I've built.
Yeah.
And I show them a first place award winning deck.
Yeah.
Like, and then they go, Oh, never mind. you're an artist. I'm like, yeah. That's what I do for a living. This is what I do for a living. Yeah. Not build decks.
Right.
You know? Mm. So I see this man right here, as my equal, you know, anything that I've done in my career, he could do. So, when you have mutual respect for somebody in the industry, so I just want everybody to know that this guy, in my opinion, he's at the upper echelon of his game. Now, just because so you're on this production journey now, like with your company, you've hired all these guys, you have all this talent, you have a sales team, you have production managers, stuff I've never had in my career in 30 years of owning a company. I do all that. So what's that like when you actually kind of like bring in all these people? Now the pressure's on, you got to sell decks.
Yeah. I was, it's different. It's different. It's, it wasn't all rainbows and cupcakes. That's for sure.
It's not unicorns.
No unicorns. No, it, got hectic quick. You know, I had good guys in place. A lot of the management was kind of like, you know, figuring out their role, and they were all good people and are good people. But you know, we had crews we brought on, we were willing to train, things like that. I thought a lot of these crews were better than they were, and it took a lot of time because you know how it
rectifying.
Is. You don't want just anybody building a doctor deck.
No,
I have a name to stand by, and
I got a problem, bro. I can't get anybody to like.
Yeah,
it's hard to get anybody to my man. I don't want to sound conceited or arrogant right now, because it seems pretty arrogant to say I can't find anybody that can build as good as me.
Man, I get it. It's funny. It's like I say the same thing. Not to sound arrogant, but
right. And it kind of does. It really comes off like that's pretty pompous, you know, to say there's not one person in your city. Well, I don't know if I want to start a guy at $100,000 a year and not know what his ability is. Now, if I can poach somebody from a competitor that I've seen the work and I've gotten to know over the years, I consider starting him at that rate, but you know, that takes $100,000 out of my salary. So is he going to make up for that? That's kind of where I'm at in my career is I got to decide how long am I going to do this for? And how long do I want to stay out in the field and work on those rainy days, those cold, wet, rainy days? And how long, you know, but for me as a deck builder, I am just as much a media company now as I am a deck building company.
Right.
So I still need to capture all the information. But, you know, this is not about me. This podcast is about you.
Oh.
So I want to make sure that you get to say everything you want to say. I'm just kind of the host here.
Yeah, shut up.
Bringing you along. Yeah, Dad.
Yeah, Calvin.
Let the man talk.
Yeah, I'm just trying to go with the journey here. So let's see, where were we? So now you got this big, now you got big infinite decks.
Yep. So yeah, now we got an office, a shop, which was, you know, when we first got in there and leased it, I mean, the shop was huge. I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to do with all this? It didn't take but a couple months to fill it.
Your overhead went like way up, right?
Yep. Yeah. So, you know,
I couldn't imagine what all the labor and all the monthly bills and production managers and office assistant and all this stuff you had, like you got to pay all these people, like you're even by the week. I'm like, I got to clear this much per day or per week just to pay everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. So at the time, you know, we had, you know, 1 to 2 in-house crews, and those would kind of take on the typical infinite custom projects, the curves and the stuff that, you know, I knew they can handle, and I didn't. But then we had, you know, we had anywhere from 2 to 4 sub crews. And, you know, I know a lot of companies frown on subcontracting work, but they were building my work and it had to be my finished product. So
absolutely.
You know what I mean? And those were the square backs.
Huh? Or you're fired.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, it had to be my quality because it's still an infinite deck and it's always, it has to be that. And so the starting was pretty rough. I thought everybody else was a little bit more ahead of their game, but they're all willing to learn. They're all willing to listen. And so there's a handful of crews that really got really good, like really good. And I was like, uh-oh. And all of a sudden, a couple of them started falling off and doing their own thing. That sucks because these guys are really good, and now they get to sell at a much less of a margin to get by. You know, right. You know, and I even reached out to them like, man, you know, if you guys sub for me, you guys can make the same you're making now and not have to go sell your own work. But, you know, the young guys, they're just young and hungry, and they're happy making that same amount of money and just knowing that they're selling their own work. You know, that was just like a trophy.
Yeah. You gotta, loyalty is something that is hard to find in the industry until you find those people that just want to stick around. There are a caliber of really great craftsmen that don't want to run their own business. They don't want to have to deal with the state taxes. They don't want to have to pay all the extra costs that is involved in a business. They don't want to have to file monthly or quarterly to the state for revenue. And they just want to get a paycheck and that's it, you know?
Right.
So totally get that.
Yeah.
Totally get that.
Yep.
So, okay. So, hey, just quickly, before we go further, how did you come up with infinite decks? What was the determining factor on that?
So, good question. So, basically, I knew I wanted whatever my name was, I wanted to have the .com. I didn't want, abbreviations. I didn't want, anything I had to do. I just looked at what was available at the time. I had a list of probably like 6 options. There was like Prime decks. I found Infinite decks, Affinity decks. And I just kind of asked some of my friends and family, like, what do you think? And everybody just kind of went to Infinite because what I liked about Infinite was there's infinite possibilities. What do you want to do? We can do, you dream it, we'll make it happen.
And hey, I like that. Is that your slogan?
Yeah, actually, my slogan was ahead of the curve.
Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, hashtag that.
Yeah.
Every time you put out a post, hashtag that. That's a good one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Also, I love how you guys are like naming your own decks. Like, this is a Doctor deck. This is an Infinite deck.
That's right.
Yeah.
And this is Sally. And this is Mary Sue.
This is my Joseph deck.
You know, the next deck I entered in Nadra, they ask you to give it a title. I'm going to call it Hank.
Hank. This is Hank.
Yeah, man. Just somebody's name.
Yeah. Yeah. You know?
Cuz I think I'm building one right now that it needs to be shared like everywhere. It's you can see the bags under my eyes, man. I mean, okay, so I fell ill. We went to IBS, met you there, saw you there. Mm-hmm. Kiki's like, "Where's Mark? He didn't show up to help me bend decking." I'm like, "That was a joke, anyways." It turned into a cluster mess.
No, sorry about that. But I did fully plan to go. We actually, me and a couple of my guys, we actually stopped to grab a bagel quick on our way into the show. It took us an hour and a half to get our bagel sandwich, and we already paid for it. So it's like, by the time we got it, there's no way I could have made it there. Fully intended. Yeah, sorry.
Was that Bagel Mania?
It was.
Oh, that place is the bomb, though.
Yeah,
I'd wait an hour and a half for one of those bagels.
Oh, and I couldn't.
The coffee's good too.
Like, how does a bagel take an hour and a half? I don't care how.
Dude, that joint is so packed constantly. Like, you got to go early.
Yeah,
and then get a table and actually have a seat and like enjoy the journey there.
Yeah.
So big shout out to Bagel Mania.
Yeah, Bagel Mania knows what they're doing for sure.
They really do. It's amazing. Yeah. It's an amazing little joint. And I like bagels, so put bacon and an egg on cheese on a bagel.
Oh.
Are you kidding me, dude? I'll eat there every day.
Yeah. Every day.
Yeah. Right. But so Kiki, so get this. Okay, here, I'm going to go sideways, okay? So we're at the International Builder Show. Mark's there. He said he'd come over and help us bend some decking. I'm like, cool, you and Kiki can run this. I'm just going to talk. And the first night, we had some moving blankets that we're going to use the next day for opening day. And the moving blankets work pretty good in a pinch.
Yeah.
Okay? So we go to get the moving blankets, and I'm like, where are the moving blankets? Our heat con equipment's there, but the moving blankets were stolen.
Oh, jeez.
So all we had to use for installation was a painter's tarp.
Oh, my gosh.
So we used the painter's tarp, and it held enough heat to make the board pliable so we could bend it. Day one, I take the painter's tarp. It's kind of big and bulky, so I just roll it up into itself, toss it in the closet. Day two comes up. We have a later engagement because you're supposed to meet us at 2:00. Mm-hmm. We go to set up. Painter's tarp is missing. We had nothing to insulate the blankets with to capture the heat. So I'm just saying, screw it. We're going to do this raw. We're going to heat the board up. Yeah, man. So we're trying to heat the board up, but it won't get the temperature. Yeah. So Julie from AZEK's like, can you use these couch cushions to do this? I'm like, yeah, yeah, we can. So we ripped the furniture apart. We ripped the furniture apart to heat the board.
Yeah.
And it was still hard when we pulled it out, but it worked. We got it done. Yeah. So you would have been like, oh, dude, what kind of show you're running over here, man?
Oh, man.
That was my little IBS story. But Kiki did it like a champ, man. She knows what's up. She's
a champ.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay. So where are we? Where are we, Mark? So now we're in Infinite Decks.
Yep. So we're a
few years in.
And, you know, some trials and tribulations, ups and downs with the market and things like that. So, like I said, I had a few subs that learned a lot and then kind of went off on their own. Now, technically, they're competitors.
Of course.
And they're really good at what they do. And hats off to them.
You trained all the ones with ability to compete against you.
No, and they were keepers too, but you know, I get it. You know, I did the same thing when I was
Mark, there. But not everybody can run a company.
Right.
You know, it takes some doing.
Yeah.
So some of those guys may succeed and some of them may not because of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Especially when you're above the board and you're getting permits and you have to be a licensed and bonded contractor.
Right.
And you have to follow the rules. It can be difficult.
Right.
So, okay. So you go through several years of that. And what's your latest venture?
So last fall, crazy enough, my guy Rick is actually talking to this other company. He said, hey, would you be interested in talking to him? Like, yeah, I'd give it a shot. You know, I'm getting kind of burnt out again. It's just, you know, it's a lot of headache, a lot of work to try and get myself out of the field. And turns out, so I meet with them once again. You know, they kind of offer me everything I want. I get to, you know, they're an overall GC. You know, they do a lot of storm damage, insurance work, remodeling, things like that. And they wanted to kind of invest in some decks and create this deck division that they've been kind of just, you know, stepping into. And, you know, comes to find out, they're like, oh, I never thought you'd come. But basically, they gave me the reins. It's funny because, they know me. And it's funny how we all came together. Basically, the deck division is mine. They gave me full reign. I'm like, I want everything. I want the sales. I want the production. I want in charge of all crews. I want in charge of material, how we build, when we build, everything. In fact, yep, all yours. All yours.
Did you get it in writing?
Yep.
all in a yep. contract? Yep. All right.
So the difference with this venture compared to the last one is this is like home. I introduced you to Rachel, the owner.
I met her. Yep.
Yep. She is. I've known her since she was a little kid in like high school, middle school. Her two of her cousins were some of my best friends growing up. Mm-hmm. One of them was in my wedding.
So it's family.
It's family. So the one that was in the wedding is actually working for Proficient. You met Rachel, the owner, which is cool. It's female owned. So, you know, I mean, it's cool to be able to say that. And I actually respect her because she actually...
I have high regard for that.
She runs a really good business. She's got a lot of flowers for it. Like, she's been, you know, noted plenty of times. She got awards. And it's really cool because she's really smart. And she's created a really good business. Her husband, myself, Rick, the salesman, and Matt, the guy who brought me over to that other company, the four of us have known each other since 2001. We've all worked together at some point. Her husband, Bo, him and I actually, at one point before 2008, we were actually 50-50 working as a sub crew, so we've worked together for a couple of years. I've known Rick forever. We've done business ventures. Him and I agree 99% out of 100 on anything Dax, on, like, you know. And if we don't agree, it's like, fine, we don't agree. But most of the part on the design and options, things like that.
But you get the final say-so, though.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And so let's plug this company. Let's plug them real quick. So what's the name of the company?
Proficient Construction.
All right. And this is the decking division of that?
So Proficient Construction is the name of the company. And like I said, they got, an interiors production manager. They got an exteriors production manager. They just brought Matt on as the overall sales manager. I'll be running it. So it's funny. I'll be running the deck division, all parts of it, all aspects. I got full reins. They're... Give me this salute. It's all you. I'm like, cool. Just let me do this because I'm going to carry this on my shoulders. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to show you it works, and it's going to work because of what I did.
Amen.
And so it's honestly been so much fun. All of us were out at IBS last week in Vegas, and it was seriously like the four of us it's crazy how it just full circles. You know,
four
of us got back together and it was like, we never skipped a beat. Laughing. We've been friends for so long. And so that's the difference between this venture compared to the last one.
And you told me a couple weeks ago that most of the people that we're working with or for you have been integrated into this company as well.
Yep.
So that they had the bandwidth to be able to absorb all that. And so there's no guilt on your shoulders for having to fire a bunch of guys towards the end of winter.
Right.
That's admirable, man.
It's
pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that about them. It's been great because we haven't really skipped a beat. They just built a shop. We're going to be rolling all my tools out in there here in the next couple weeks. Couple projects on the board with some curves, and we're going to, we're going to start showing it on Proficient's social media. You know?
All right. So, they have a team that's working on that, or somebody that's dedicated to their social?
So that's one thing Rachel's really good about: social media, marketing, networking. And she's allowing me to be a big part of it and work with her on it. So
cool.
It's going to be a team effort, but I get to play a good part in it, and I'm really looking forward to it and kind of growing the following numbers and things like that, and just getting
back into the fun
stuff I like. You know what it is. I want to produce, I want to sell, I want to encourage and build our sales team, and I just want to have fun on social media again. I want to bring back what you and I were doing, 13 years ago, 14 years ago, 15 years ago. When did IG come out? Like 2010? 2011?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Pretty sure. At least that's when it really started popping, And that's when I got on board with it.
Yep.
And thanks to my niece, Alex, I got to give her a shout because she showed me what Instagram... Back then, Instagram was a photo sharing app. There was no video even
right.
allowed. Yeah. It's amazing now that video is king. Like,
yeah, right.
Video is where it's at. You know, give me a yeah. well. Now it's a 3-minute video, but I'm yeah. not sure. Like, I'm losing a little bit on the intel on that. I as a matter of fact, I'm losing followers right now for some reason. So we're trying to figure out what's going on. But you know, it doesn't matter as long as you keep staying consistent, man. Just keep putting in the information out there. Yeah. And that's kind of what this podcast is about. Is we just want to expand our brand. And I have some of the best friends in the industry. And I know the top builders all around the country. And Mark King is the number one guy that I had to talk to tonight. And I'm so grateful for you, Mark. What else do you, is there anything else you want to share? Or is there anything else you want to talk about?
Well, first of all, I appreciate you. Honestly, we've become brothers as soon as we met. We talk all the time, you know, compare notes, check in on each other. I think that means a lot, especially in the deck industry. You know, there's in my opinion, there's not a lot of people you can really do that with. You know, you see a lot of accounts and they're just, you know, the one thing you and I always agreed on is organic followers.
Yeah.
Organic, no paid following.
Yeah. There's a lot of that going on too. And I don't know anything about it. I just kind of just try my best to do what I can do. And I know you as well. And I know that you got a little frustrated back in the day because some of these accounts just seem to skyrocket overnight.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of easy to tell when a guy gains 50,000 followers overnight. You're like, wow, man. How did
and
that
then
happen?
they post a picture and they're still getting 7 likes and 1 comment.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
No.
But right on, brother. We'll appreciate that.
Yeah, no, it's, man, just getting to know you and Kiki and stuff like that. You guys got to meet Bree last year at the TimberTech thing. And we're family, and I appreciate it. I really appreciate you asking me to be on here with you. Obviously, I'd do anything for you or with you.
You were my number one. I got my number one guy on. And that's what, for me, like, humbly... you know, I'm asking a lot of people like, hey, would you be interested? And I've only got out of like 75 people, I've gotten one no.
Yeah.
And one maybe. And that's cause they're like, I just won't do well doing this. I don't like being on video. I'm anti-technology kind of dude. I'm like, okay, we'll work on that guy.
Yeah.
You know, I said, we're going to get you on this podcast eventually. Yeah.
Like, that'll probably be one of the better ones.
Probably. You never know. Hey, you never know.
Never know.
But anyway, thanks for sharing your journey. And it's always interesting to learn the tidbits about how you got here, what you do. So quickly, you're with this new company. You kind of know the medium you're going to use when you get into these curved decks. Mm-hmm. Are you still a TimberTech AZEK guy, or is there something else you're going to be using as your bending medium, or what?
Yeah, I'm a TimberTech AZEK guy through and through.
Me
you
too,
know,
man.
I love the material, and honestly, it's just a good company. I think you can agree with me. The people in it are just stellar.
I absolutely love that company, and I absolutely love the people in it.
Yep.
And we're not sponsored yet. We're not sponsored yet.
There's still an opening.
On this portion of this podcast thing, this is brand new. So this is an open book, and we will accept all. I mean, we've actually had people showing interest, but they want to see how we do. Some people say give it a year and bring us some analytics. And I think we've already confirmed that we will be in Orlando at IBS in TimberTech's booth. Mark King, if you're coming, you're going to come back and be on our IBS podcast in Orlando, Florida.
You can take it straight to the bank. They don't got a bagel mania there, do they?
I will bring you Bagel Mania from Las Vegas if you'll come to Florida. Yeah. I'll figure something out.
As long as nothing slows me down, I'm so mad I missed it out with you and Kiki. But
if not an IOU, because the next year, so I guess they're contractually, and maybe I shouldn't say this, but you know, Orlando's kind of an armpit compared to Vegas as far as the show.
Thank you.
And the distance, and I'm handicapped, man. I've actually taken some really bad injuries in my career. I have a bum leg. I have, for me to walk a mile, kind of sucks. Like, and I know we're walking miles and miles at the show,
yep.
but just to get from building to building, it's like a really long walk. Yeah. So, I'm kind of glad to see that that venue is going away and that they're only going to run in Vegas,
yeah.
you know, after next year. So we got to go to one more year to Orlando. I'm trying to bring Studio Man, his new bride, my wife, and our dogs.
Calvin's married?
Yeah.
Congrats,
Calvin's
Cal.
Married, man.
Thank you.
He married a really beautiful Brazilian girl.
Get out of here.
No, her name's Wiara. It took like 3 years. Two years.
Did you make her a custom ring?
That's another podcast and like a 2-episode podcast.
Did you custom ring?
Yeah.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Nice.
How could I not?
Yeah. Right? You're a ring maker.
Yeah.
You might as well make her a really cool ring. That's some
dope.
Really cool stuff.
Yeah
man. So Calvin's married and
congrats, Cal.
And
thank you.
And we have some friends down in Miami, and they're gonna be at the show, and they're full blooded Brazilians, and so Calvin's wife speaks fluent Portuguese, so there can be that relationship going on, and I don't have to like
sweet.
She'll tell me what they said.
Google Translate.
Are they talking? Oh, I use it all the time with Giovanni. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay, so it's good to hear. I mean, because I'll agree with you on this, that I think that AZEK, and okay, I love TimberTech, but if I was stranded on a deserted island and I can only have one one PVC board with me, it would be TimberTech AZEK. Because it's the one board that I can craft, like nobody's business, right?
Yeah.
So until I find a plank that's comparable, I'm probably always going to go with that brand though, and that because I love the vintage. It's if it ain't broke, man, don't fix it.
The vintage, you know, and I say all this to anybody I'm in their house and I'm talking to them. In my opinion, the TimberTech AZEK vintage line is the best looking line with the best colors across the board, across any brand. And that's honest opinion on my own house. That's what I would do. I'm not being biased. There's other good options out there, but in my opinion, the vintage is my favorite line.
Me too. I just wish they'd make dark hickory a little darker.
I wish they had the variegation in the dark hickory like when they first introduced it like 8-10 years ago.
Right.
It used to have so much color. Now it's like a monotone.
Yeah, but you know, you're right. And you know what's hilarious? So get this. So I'm in the booth, and Jesse Singh, the president,
CEO.
I got this wrong. I had to delete a post. My handler, you know who you are, said, hey, man, and you know
J-W.
Who he is. Yeah, exactly, J-Dub. J-Dub, he's like, hey, man, you're kind of calling these guys by the wrong titles, and I think you should delete that post. I'm like, what'd I do? He goes, well, Jesse, he's the CEO of AZEK.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, and you call him the president. I'm like, oh. And he goes, and John, he's the president of AZEK.
Yeah.
I'm like, I thought Jesse was the president of TimberTech, which is the full umbrella, and that.
Yeah.
But I got it wrong, you know. And these titles change sometimes. Whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm just a peon in this whole thing, anyway. So, so I'm sitting here and I'm filming this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I pull my phone out and I'm getting ready to frame the shot to film Jesse, because I just wanted to like film him from behind all these. He was on a media tour and he had like 20 reporters. And, you know, I don't know how they get up, their media company got all these people in, all these important people. So he's telling them about their booth and how cool it is and all that stuff. So I'm like, I'm going to sneak in. I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him good. And so I pull my phone out. And as soon as I pull my phone, it goes, Jason, come here. I'm like, I'm like, great. I'm like, okay. So I walk through the reporters and he goes, tell us why you like AZEK so much. I'm like, you got me on this one, didn't you, Jesse? So I turn around. So I'm standing shoulder to shoulder with Jesse facing all these people. And then I just laid this on, like I just turned on like a light. And I was like, man, I love AZEK so much because I can take this board and I can abuse it so badly and take it up to an extreme that it's not designed to do, that these chemists didn't want us to take it to, and still see how well this board performs. And then I can shape it into a design just like this over here. And I went on and on. And then I was like, I finished. And I turned to him. I go, is that good enough? And everybody starts cracking up. And he goes, yeah, that was great. Thanks. And off I went. I was like, yeah, okay, I'm going to be a little more stealth next time. I'm going to find it. Because I always like catching the, you know, the action without, like, necessarily being impromptu kind of stuff, you know?
Right. So. Right.
Anyway, so that was my little IBS experience with the president. The CEO. Oh, the CEO of AZEK.
Shame on you.
Yeah. Well,
you can't get anyone right today.
No, I'm just clouded, foggy. Man. Super foggy. But I wasn't missing this. I was not going to miss this podcast. So,
no, same.
Mark, is there anything else on your brain? I mean, I don't care. If you want to talk about the Vikings, like, you're a Skull guy, right?
I am, and I get let down every year.
Well, can't be much worse than the Seahawks right now, bro.
Yeah, right.
They can't even figure out who they want on the team, so right. I don't know.
No, I once again appreciate you guys for having me on. Calvin, you do a fantastic job. Jason, you're obviously a brother in the industry and just in life. Really appreciate you and everything you do for the industry. And yeah, count me in Orlando. We'll definitely be there.
All right. I got proof.
If I'm not here until next time, then you can count me in Orlando. Obviously you and I will probably talk many times before then, but,
Oh yeah. 100%. Yeah. I'm sure there's going to be some crazy ass thing I'm going to come up with. I'm like, I got to call King.
Yeah.
And get an opinion. And you know, I'll call a few guys around the country that I really have high regard for. It's like, hey man, I just talked to King. What do you think about blah blah blah, you know? And I'll get another perspective, and then it all comes back together. Like, I'm just gonna do what I thought because everybody else said the same thing. But having that network of people is it's a blessing.
It is,
in my opinion.
Yep.
And you're the kind of guy that I don't have to talk to you every week or every month. It's just whenever we pick up, we just kind of pick up where we left off, and that's a true friend. I'm never offended or hurt or something like that. Like, you know, hey, you didn't show up to the event at TimberTech.
I figured alcohol had something to do with it,
or cigars. But
I was on my way. Blame Bagel Mania and their great bagel sandwiches.
Mark,
you can't make that up.
You could have stopped at Bagel Mania.
I did.
No, you said, you didn't even say the whole, you said bagel, and I knew it was Bagel Mania.
Oh, yeah. Because
that would have stopped me, too. So I'm not holding that against you at all. Yeah. And when I tell Kiki that,
on our way
she'll
to
get
the
it.
Booth.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And you're a dude. Come on. Bacon, eggs, cheese, bagel.
I wanted to eat something quick.
There's dude, I'm getting hungry thinking about it, man. I want a Bagel Mania right now.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Have you had Bagel Mania?
I've only been to Vegas once. Twice, but I don't
know. I got to sell another podcast in Vegas the next year. Mm-hmm. Hopefully this thing takes off. We're going to see. We're going to see, like... The first two episodes we did were just me talking. I thought they were really cool episodes, but now I've got a superstar. So we're gonna brag on this one for sure. Because I wouldn't tell anybody who was going to be on our podcast first, our very first episode with a guest. Yeah. So you got nothing else?
Not today. Not today. All right, man. I'll come for the next
Plug
time.
Your socials, Mark.
So it's Proficient Minnesota on Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff. I'll probably, you know, obviously the Infinite Dax on Instagram is always still there. I'll probably convert that into maybe my personal account and just kind of showing myself as my growth within the industry with the new company. It's, really looking forward to moving forward.
Are you keeping the Infinite, active, or are you going to put it on pause or what?
I'm going to put it on pause.
Cool.
You know, I'm really confident with this move I'm making. I don't, you know, it's with people I actually trust and know and have known for a long time. So it's much different than my last venture. So,
cool.
I'm
happy and proud for you and of you.
Yeah, so, me too, man.
And anytime you want to come back, just let us know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you want to make this a monthly thing?
Yeah.
Ain't no deal on us. I'll even get the time slot right this time. So, funny story, guys. I'm like ready to go. We're ready. I'm here. I cut out of work early so I could be here for Mark. I'm thinking, oh, yeah, it's like two here, it's five there. No, it's four there. So Mark's like, "What are you talking about? It's only 4 o'clock." I'm like, "Oh." He goes, "I'll get on."
I thought I was ahead of the schedule. I was like, actually, just pulling in at like what 4 o'clock or something. I'm like, "All right, cool."
Jason, you know, I learned something today. So yeah. This is good for the next guy. Yeah. Make sure the time zones line up.
Time zones.
Time zones do that. Twin Cities.
Twin Cities.
Minnesota. What state? Minnesota. Eh? Nice. With a 4 foot frost depth.
4 foot frost depth. 2 days ago, we got 12 inches of snow in one day.
I'm good.
Yeah.
We get rain, but we don't get that. Man, if we get 12 inches of snow here, dude, the steep as all the hills are around here, people freak the freak out, man. Yeah. They just.
Good catch.
They freak out.
Yeah, I bet.
And for good reason, because people like go sliding off of hills and into houses and onto the freeway, and buses are everywhere. It's a nightmare. All right. Well, hey, with that being said, Mark King, first guest, great podcast. Thanks for all the sharing the information. Thanks for sharing your journey.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing the highs and the lows, because I never know if that's sensitive, or I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but it's really cool to hear how you've come in and out through Infinite Decks, how you got there. Mm-hmm. And that's, to me, that's what this episode's about. It's about you, even though I put in too much information sometimes.
I just try and be real, you know. I
expect nothing less from you than real.
Anybody who's a business owner knows it's not all rainbows, unicorns, and butterflies. And it's work. There's ups and downs, and... You know, there's things
like blood, sweat, and tears.
Blood, sweat, and tears. I've literally had projects where I've literally gave it blood, sweat, and tears.
Oh yeah, DNA. DNA stays on DNA this one for
all
life.
Over that thing.
Yeah, yeah. CSI could come out and go, "Oh, Mark King built this."
Yeah, I feel an aura.
No kidding. The aliens will fly down in their spacecraft. I keep saying that. What's up with this aliens thing with me? They're going to come down in their spacecraft and like do a DNA analysis and go, that was a King deck for sure.
For sure.
All right. Well, all right. With that being said, Mark, super grateful to have you on. And like Calvin said, you're our premier guest, so you have riparian rights to our show, which means you can jump in anytime on any guest that you prefer. So if there's somebody that you want, I'm serious. I just made this up, but Calvin's looking at me kind of like, "Are you crazy?
We didn't discuss this."
We can do it. We can do it.
But that would be really radical. Just, here's Mark King. He has an opinion.
Ta-da!
So,
surprise MFers.
That would be incredible. We'll figure it out. Let's let the technology catch up to us, and then we'll figure it out. So, I think that's all we have for today. So thanks again for being on our podcast.
Definitely
check us out. This will be live on YouTube as well. If you're listening and you want to see the visual, check us out at youtube.com, Dr. Dex. And anything else?
Spotify and Apple Podcasts and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, we're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. And we have a Patreon account for after-hour stuff, like after-the-show kind of comments and things like that. And besides that, man, I'm going to cut you loose, Mark. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Brussels. Appreciate both you guys, everything you guys do.
Absolutely, buddy. Talk soon.
See ya.
Thanks, Mark.
See you guys.
Over and out.
Later.